Good morning, evening, or afternoon. You're listening to Discussions on the Distraction Network. I'm your host, Holiday. I'm joined today by two guys, Andre and Omar. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Omar, transplant from New Jersey. I've been down here in South Carolina for about 16 years.
16 years. Damn, I ain't got kids that old.
Me neither.
You've been down here for a long ass time. Yeah. Doing the same thing?
Doing the same thing.
Golly. Good Lord have mercy. That's like, you've been here longer than teenagers.
I got a 15-year-old. She ain't been here that long.
Dre.
Yo, what's good?
Before we start?
Nah, man, the peoples know me. I'm old school. I ain't new to this. It feels like it's been a little minute, though.
It has been a little minute. Like,
right?
A little long minute. All right, so today we're going to discuss wages and financial oversight. First, how wages affect the economy, and then how we will use this information to set minimum pay for certain careers, like teaching, McDonald's, fast food restaurants, employees, and stuff like that. All right? So let's start off by wages. Did anyone look up, like, the official definition of what a wage is, just for the listeners?
Nah.
So neither one of us did. Not even your host.
Do we need to though?
Like, we don't. Most people know what wages are.
Compensation,
so
right?
It's your compensation for your work, your job, what you do. So now we have a wage set at minimum of $7.25 for common citizens, and then it's like $10, $10.15 for government workers.
That might be true.
Minimum wage, right?
Sounds about right.
So
and that's national, right?
National, yes.
Okay.
Yes. $7.25. So no matter where you're at in America, you cannot get paid less than $7.25 federally. Now, on top of that, some states have a secondary minimum wage, like some places like California. Even though $7.25 is a minimum wage, if you live in the state of California, you cannot get paid less than, I think it's like $12 an hour or something like that.
Yeah, I know. By statewide, some states up to 12, 15, whatever, as long as they don't go under the federal level mandated of, would you say, 725?
Yeah, 725. Yeah. But South Carolina, the right to work state that we live in,
absolutely,
725.
There you go.
All right, so lately, over the past year or so, we've had protests. Well, it's always like this. We have protests over minimum wage where people think that having a job of a minimum job, like, I don't want to say a minimum job like fast food work, but that's what it is. Like, work that's designed to start off a person's work ethic or career ethic. And we have protests with people wanting to basically raise the minimum wage for those type of jobs. Right? Go.
So my first thing is, you said something very important. You said to start a person off, certain jobs, and Dre, you tell me, I've never in my 47 years thought of McDonald's or Walmart or places like that as a place that you can raise a family on. I always thought of it as after school work, very little skill. I mean, basically the test for most of those, as I remember, is if you can do basic math, then you can get the job.
Right, those are the jobs that usually do a personality test, and that's about it.
Yeah, but see, so here's the argument, right? That's the narrative that we hear a lot. These jobs weren't designed for adults. These jobs weren't designed for you to raise a family off of. And I get it, but when you compare that to the fact that we have a subpar educational system in this country, right? So you can't be in South Carolina, which arguably has the worst educational system in the country. So we're not preparing people. And then when they're done, you know, when they graduate, when they get their GED, whatever it is, I mean, how do you expect them? I mean, I realize the job may have not been designed for adult livelihood, but how do you expect them to get something better when the system hasn't prepared them for something better? So $7.25 an hour, you're talking about if they work 40 hours a week, if they work 40 hours a week, you're talking about what, gross pay of $1,100 a month?
That is a lot.
You're being facetious, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. $1,100 a month. And even, I mean, even an apartment, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is still going to be sketch in terms of someplace you want to lay your head. Mm-hmm. You're talking about $700, $800 a month. Easy. Well, and that ain't no place that you want to be, right? So who can live off of that? I mean, come on. It's simple math.
Yeah, so the way the... Right now, we have a society where we do, what is it called? Gig. It's a gig economy, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's working, like, not everybody, but in most places, you have a lot of people working on gig jobs, like Uber or Lyft or, like, restaurant employees or things that they just do. It's just a job to do. And then people pick up two and three of those because even though the news now is that we have a low unemployment rate. We have a low unemployment rate now. But none of the jobs that we really have, not none of them, but most of the jobs that we have now that they're using to set the unemployment rate or lower the unemployment rate are not full-time work. It's not full-time work.
Right.
Right.
So that's the secondary issue with these wages. Like, we have $7.25 an hour. We work in a gig economy, which is issue number two. And then issue number three is most of this work is not full-time work.
Right.
So the $7.25 an hour, we'll use McDonald's for an example card. That's the most popular response. Chappelle made it with Whack on Us. So, but $7.25 an hour, most jobs like Walmart, McDonald's, in order for them to not have to pay you full benefits, they give you less than 32. So they usually clip people around 28 hours, right?
It's less than 32, so I don't have to pay you medical.
Exactly. Right.
Correct. So is that another thing that we should discuss when it comes to wages?
Well, Dre, you said something interesting about education, and it just came out this week that the number one rated school in America is right here in Charleston, the Military Magnet. I believe it's the Military Magnet. In less than a mile away.
In America?
In America.
Number one high school.
Wow,
America.
That's crazy.
Go Charleston.
That's crazy.
And less than a mile away from that high school, North Charleston High School.
Yeah.
You go 3-4 miles, you got Stahl.
Are not both even failing schools.
Failing schools. So, yeah. So that's one. The education, for me, the point I'm making is it can be done anywhere if it can be done right there.
Right.
The second point I was going to make is unemployment is down because it has to be.
Right.
Because welfare programs and such like that, I think welfare has a 5-year window on being on it, and you have to graduate off.
Right.
So by default, if I don't have any type of social service, I have to take whatever job I can get.
Exactly.
And my last point, and this is where I'm at with the minimum wage thing, as I said earlier about what type of jobs they are and what they were meant to be, at what age do you look at me? I'm 47.
Mm-hmm.
If I was on the picket line arguing about minimum wage, how would you look at me?
Right. Yeah, if I'm 47 years old, I pray I'm not working a minimum wage job.
Because you say to yourself individually, I come from meager means. You have to say, okay, I got this job, but is this my permanent job? Mm. Am I going to fight this guy over paying me more, or am I going to do more for myself to get more?
Mm-hmm.
So it's
sell
it's
crack, baby.
It's
now you're joking, but it's systemic. That's like that's what happens.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the thing. And I get it. Like I get it. You don't want to be a certain age depending on those kind of jobs. But so Chick-fil-A, for example, Chick-fil-A pays $15 an hour. Mm. That's why, and that's proof that it makes the difference. That's why everything is my pleasure. Have a great day.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they get that line moving so fast because they're paying them. They're paying them $15 an hour. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But and you might disagree with me. Y'all might disagree with me. I have this argument a lot. But I don't subscribe to the whole pull yourself up by your bootstraps theory, because at some point in life you have to have been given the tools to do that. If you've never been given the tools, you're not just going to wake up one day and be like, oh my God, I got to do better. Because even if you have that thought, if no one's ever taught you how to do better, you're not even going to know where to start.
Yeah.
So
that's why I wear tennis shoes anyway. I ain't got no boots to scrap.
Silly. No, but like it's real deal. Like, we expect a lot more from a certain demographic that we've not poured anything into.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we expect them to do better. We expect them to make better decisions. You know, we talk about situations, we make memes, we make jokes. Oh, you ain't got no job, but you walking around with an $800 phone, because no one's ever taught them about money management. No right. one's ever taught them you don't need the latest iPhone. You just need a phone to stay into to stay in communication.
That's right.
Make better financial choices. But if nobody's ever taught you that and you don't see it in your circle, because the fact of the matter is we all live in these little homogeneous groups, and the people around us look like us, think like us, act like us. And so how do you expect them to just miraculously one day wake up and do something different?
Right, right. Question. What's homogeneous?
The same.
I knew that.
So homo meaning the same, genes, no, yeah. human beings. Yeah, mm-hmm. homogeneous.
Okay, cool.
Now, Dre, you said something interesting. So I got a coworker. I started a new job this last week, and he's Vietnamese, and his parents came here from Vietnam.
Let him in?
Oh, hey, they let him in.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
So his parents came here. He was telling me a story, because I was talking about, you know, different cultural norms and things, and I was like, he was like, his father came here, his mom and dad got here, and his dad took whatever job, working golf courses and all that stuff. And
right.
He would not take a handout, even though he was eligible for him. Fast forward today, he said his dad has like 15, 20 houses.
Mm-hmm.
And today he put a contract in for a $500,000 house.
Okay.
Now, I said that to say that preparing for today, I was thinking about that and this, and I was like, well, what countries have the most people that work for themselves. An interesting thing I came up with is America is ranked last in the world for people that work for themselves.
For a capitalist and society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so educationally, we teach you to work. We don't teach you
right.
to. We teach you enough to do the job for me,
right.
not so, to do the job for yourself. And with the social programs, I'm sorry, I'm taking everything.
No.
It was with the social programs, it becomes a crutch for some people
mm-hmm.
that we don't have to get out. So when we see a Mexican selling oranges, he's doing that because he has no other choice. If either he's gonna eat or he's not.
They're called Mexicans.
Because he can't. And I'm not, I'm being stereotyping, but I know.
There's a reason stereotypes exist.
Right, right. Yeah. They gotta get out there and grind.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So following with that, when I moved to South Carolina the first time, I went to CSU. Charleston Southern. Yeah, I went to CSU for a while in business class, because I said I want to own a business one day. My first day of class, I raised my hand. I said, hey, so in my school, my track, when do I start learning how to run a business? And my teacher said, you don't learn this in business school. The only way you learn how to run a business is to go run a business. We teach you how to work for a business with your business degree. And I lasted 2 more weeks.
Make my business back.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that rolls along in what you're saying. For a capitalist community, like a lot of the political side of things right now, everybody's like, we live in a capitalist society, but I don't know what you call this society, because it's not really a capitalist society. Because
I feel like it's changing, though. Yeah. I feel like millennials are definitely turning that around.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of millennials that are entrepreneurs. You know, they're doing their things in terms of, you know, graphics, the arts. Like, they're coming up and being creative in terms of how to make money.
I ain't gonna lie, I like it.
Yeah, I do too. Like we talk about millennials a lot, but one thing I give that generation is that they don't live by anybody else's terms but theirs, right?
Right.
Whatever it is, like, they do what they want to do. It's a little scary because they're not working for the system paying into Social Security, but I feel like that ain't gonna be there by the time I'm ready for
Facts.
It anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
But yeah, like they're doing their own thing. So I feel like it's definitely a shift.
Yeah. I like it, though. I mean, I'm a millennial.
The greatest thing that millennials
you're a millennial
have.
Barely.
Yeah.
Are you really?
Barely.
and what age is that? Barely.
Barely 36.
Oh wow. Yeah. I never thought about it before. I guess you are a millennial. Yeah. That's crazy.
You know, that is. I've been telling my younger relatives with no kids and all they got to pay for is themselves. This is the greatest time. And I got this from Gary Vaynerchuk, by the way. It was. you have nothing to lose. So if you take $5,000 and venture it on mm-hmm. whatever your dream is and you lose it, yeah. you didn't lose anything.
Right.
There's nobody depending on you.
Right. You could pick yourself up by your Jordan scraps.
As a single man with no children, when I eat, my whole family has eaten.
All day.
Right.
Right? I'm not responsible for anybody else.
I'll split four ways plus a couple of pushes.
Mm, I'm buying diapers. I spend half my income on diapers.
Absolutely.
Man, dang.
Yeah. But it's crazy. So the way that you sent out the topic earlier, like I read it, and I guess I could look at it and read it verbatim, but it caught my attention because I think you mentioned something about region or something like that, wages. And so it's crazy to me that if we have a minimum wage that is in effect for the entire country,
right.
then that says to me that you should be able to live and function anywhere in said country mm-hmm. on that minimum wage. And that absolutely is not true.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. Matter of fact, let's take a break so we come back and get into that side. We're going to talk about how we would, in our shoes, make America America.
Mm.
All right. All right.
We'll be back.
What's up? It's Heavy D. Every podcast, we want to come to you with topics that you want to hear about. But that's just it. We don't know what you want to hear about unless you let us know. On Facebook, at DistractNet. On Twitter, at Distract_net. On our website, www.distractionnetwork.com. Or email us at thedistractionnetwork@gmail.com.
We're back. This is Holiday. I'm joined by Omar. And Dre, we were talking about wages across America, how to set up America to be America. The ideal of America, where everyone is treated equally. Everyone has equal rights. One of the things and one of the issues of equal rights is equal pay, or at least compensation for what you do, equal compensation for what you do. We do understand that some compensation, some jobs are deserve more compensation than other jobs, but in the ideals of America, we should at least get to the point where people are not suffering for their jobs or whatever compensation they have mm-hmm. For what they do daily. So you remember back in the 70s and 80s, like if you was a shoe salesman or if you sold cars or if you worked on a factory line or maybe you was an engineer for a company, no matter what you did, you just did that job forever. But you can feed a family off of it, right? So in 2019, while we're in a gig economy, it's a little bit different here. So in 2019, do y'all have any ideas of what you would do in order to set it up so where people can actually live off of their wages? Taking in consideration everything we talked about before the break.
Well, one, being that this is America, unless we're changing our government structure as far as being a capitalist society, never. Never can happen.
Well,
it's by design. It's by design you have people at different wealth levels.
Yeah.
By design. I mean, the only thing you can do is teach our kids to be entrepreneurs, and or if they're going to work for somebody, go into jobs that or career fields. Let me restate: mm-hmm. career fields that are in high demand.
Right. So I would take it because I believe in power to the people. Right. I believe that the people actually drive society. The thing is, right now we are in a rat race. Like, we're mentally trained and been mentally trained for 50, 60, 70 years to follow this race that we're in right now, to where people spend their money on certain things to look good for other people. Those brands are what run the country. The brands are the ones that lobby our politicians. And when it comes down to truth, like, we actually pick the people, we go and vote, pick the people to be to stand for us or represent us, either by state, by county, or by the country in Washington, D.C. But what we're actually picking is who's going to get a whole bunch of money from lobbyists. Like, I mean, because once they get there, for the most part, they're taking money. Like, this is how Kamala Harris, I like her. She looks good, too. I like her. I like Kamala That's Harris really and like stuff her. Like that. But she was a policeman, and she went to Washington D.C. Her salary is like $170,000, but she's a millionaire for some reason. Living in Washington D.C., became a millionaire, multimillionaire. So somebody's paying her. There's people paying her, and that's one of the things that we would need to stop. So as society, if I had to say so, had the power to help change it, one of the things I would do is empower the people more. Like when we did this government shutdown, not the government shutdown, the government bailout, I believe that all that money should have went to people instead of the corporations, because as in Wells Fargo, as in GM, as in all the big corporations, they took that money and they all built plans to further escalate the same issues that was happening before. Like Wells Fargo, since they got all that money back, they've been through suits 4 times now, mm-hmm. from manipulating the whole system to where they will actually fire their employees for not forging signatures and opening up new accounts. Yeah, upselling mm-hmm. products. So the money shouldn't go to the corporations. I would say the money should go more to the people. And in order to do that, I would start propaganda to empower people to don't go to, I'm just going to use them because these are the brands that I buy. So don't go to Polo and spend $600 on Polo outfits. Find people that work with you, work closer to you, people that you know that might be entrepreneurs and starting their own business. Support them. I mean, if they have good threads, good clothes, because sometimes that stuff is just as good. You don't need to go buy Jordans. You don't need to go buy LeBrons. Y'all don't. I do. But, I mean, but when it comes to this kind of stuff, if we support our local businesses, support the people in our neighborhood, and empower them, help them out, in turn, they help you out.
Yeah.
And
Go ahead.
That happening, then you don't have all these big corporations getting all of that money, because we have a guy here, Charlie O. I said it right?
The brand is Charlie O.
The brand is Charlie O. That's why I want to shout the brand, not the actual guy right now. But we have Charlie O here in Charleston. Like, he has a store. People go to him, they support him. They have a lot of, but people that's in Columbia, they might know about Charlie O. They might come down here and get it, but Charlotte, they're not coming out here. So that's a limit to the amount of power that he will have as far as a business person, right? Unless he rebrands and gets bigger and bigger and bigger, but that's why we got monopolies. But if there's a Charlie O here, if there's someone in Charlotte doing the same thing, if there's someone in Columbia doing the same thing, then people are supporting their brands and people that's closer to them, and it's only so far they can go. So they will not be able to go to Washington, D.C. and pay $80,000, $90,000 to 20, 30, 40 people and be able to buy rules to empower their own environment. So that's what I would do. I would empower everyone to stay local.
And that sounds amazing in theory, right? But here is the issue with that. America definitely has a race problem, and I say this all the time, but bigger than a race.
They get tired, man. You ever ran like 4 races in a row?
Bigger than a race marathon, problem. Yeah, bigger than a race problem, America has a class problem.
Right.
We are a classist society. And so we have.
I say too much, because that's how all the leaders really get killed once they start talking about classes.
But it's the truth. We foster this environment that's built on class. And so the reason that people won't sacrifice those larger brands, because that's the society that we live in.
Right.
I have to reach a certain status, or at least appear that I have reached that status to be successful, right? So you can, I mean, don't get me wrong, America has its race issues, but you can infiltrate many a circles if you've got the money.
Right.
Like, you can get in with the big boy, but you gotta have the money. That's mm-hmm. the most important key. So for those
money
who
and make money.
For those who don't have the money, at the very least, they wanna look like they have the money, right? And so they play the game, and people live off of credit and do all the things that they do, because most of us in this country are living way beyond our means. Like, that's what we do.
Right.
And the reason that America will never work genuinely to bridge those classes is because they don't want to. Like, the lesser is needed. Mm-mm. We talked about, we did a podcast a long time ago about down around Hilton Head, like Beaufort County and all those places where there is no industry.
Our very first podcast.
That was our very first podcast. Yes. No industry. Those people have to get up and commute for like 2-3 hours in some instances, mm-hmm. to go onto Hilton Head Island to work domestic jobs, right? They're not making any money. And the government is not interested in making better schools or providing any industry, because if they did that, then who would go onto Hilton Island and serve in a domestic capacity,
right,
to the rich folks?
They might have to have their children work.
Yeah, like they got to keep their thumb on them, because that's going to motivate them to go in and work those kind of jobs,
right,
which if they had a choice, they absolutely wouldn't work them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's all systemic. It's all by design. And so when you talk about changing that,
that's a revolution.
They don't want it changed.
Civil war.
They don't want it changed.
Not saying I want a civil war, but I mean, that's
is there enough money to pay everybody good wages? Yes. Apple sits on 800.
Let's not talk about Apple.
I'm making a point.
No, we can talk about Apple. I'm about to get on Apple in a couple of weeks.
But so. I'm only bringing that up because what they have, 800 billion.
Yeah, something sitting, crazy.
That's not even that's not even operating capital. It's just
they almost
money
got
that
as much money as Jay-Z.
Right. Right, right. Hail to the queen. When you talked about economics, the Charlie O'Brien doesn't have to reach far,
right?
If he's being supported in his community,
mm-hmm.
And then my next thought was Tulsa, Black Wall Street was not an anomaly; it was everywhere.
It was everywhere. Right. That's exactly right.
Everywhere. If you look around, you go to New York, you heard of Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
You go to San Francisco, it's called Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
because they do all their economics together.
Right.
And then the last you said about Hilton Head, in that area, most of those people are on heirs property, own the land, or
so, or at least they did it one time.
Or at least they did, right?
Right.
And so it's, why do we have to live in a place, when we talk about wages, my wife is from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
If I made, I can make half of what I make now and live like a king down there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we have to get out of I have to live in Atlanta, or I have to live in Charlotte, or I have to live. Live where you can make the best income for the area that you're in.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, those are tools that I was talking about earlier, because as a community, we've not been taught. Okay, it's not just about wanting to live in the city that's popping. It's about, this is my field. Okay, where is this field booming?
Yeah.
What salary can I make in my field? Where can I make more money doing what I do right now?
Right.
You know, what are houses going? Like, we don't know how to do, no one's ever set us down and taught us how to do that research. So we're instant grat, right?
Mm-hmm.
We make our decisions on what looks good. Yo, Atlanta is booming. Yo, that's where I want to be. Why do you want to be in Atlanta?
They got them.
Yo, that's where everybody is right now. That's what's going on. What, like, how is that going to affect you?
I just want to be in Atlanta because they had better strip clubs.
They got them clubs.
Actually, that's Tampa, Florida. Tampa, Florida is the strip club capital of the U.S.
So I felt kind of like that before. I'm going to let you finish.
No. But like, that's just it again. Until we start having those conversations, like, you know, you talk about coming from meagerness, like, same thing. Like, my family didn't have a whole bunch of money. But you know what the difference was? Like, my great-grandfather, he had two brothers, right? One knew how to build, one learned plumbing, and the other one learned electricity. And together, I can drive you around the city of North Charleston and show you a ton of homes that they built. They never, and it wasn't even disrespectful, but my grandfather, his phrase, like, we all know it, I ain't working for the white man. And him and his brothers, with no education, like, they positioned themselves so they didn't have to work for the white man.
Cool.
Right. And it wasn't about being on the system or getting any handouts. You mentioned that earlier. Like, they weren't trying to, like, he was out with his brothers. They was building houses. My great grandmother was a fabric lady. Mm-hmm. She went around to the white folks and she gathered fabric, and then she sold that in her community, mm-hmm. to the sisters who couldn't go to the white fabric stores. Right. Like, you have to be creative and navigate through this whole process.
Right.
But if you don't grow up with that example, then you just don't know how to do that.
Dre, you're making a very important point that I forgot about. Great Migration. My family's from Southeast Georgia, Southwest Georgia, let me be corrected. Mm. And that's what they did. My grandmother left Georgia, was like, all right, I'm heading out. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go make this money. I'm gonna send money back to my mom and my mom and everybody and mm-hmm. take care of my siblings. And as each one come up, we're gonna bring you up to these jobs.
Right.
We are afraid to do that nowadays. Mm-hmm. That lesson just said, you got cousins that don't even acknowledge the lesson that was right in front of your eyes by right. your grandfather and his uncle.
Right.
Yep.
They're like, man, I don't know how to get this thing done. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, grandpa is the example that you just saw.
Yeah.
But you act like you don't see it.
Yeah. That's why I said I'm from Batesburg, Leesville, South Carolina. So we had the same issue.
Leesville, Batesburg.
Same issue. We didn't know anything, so I knew I didn't know anything. I didn't want to go to college straight away because even though I had Penn scholarships, it wasn't no money in it. Like, so I went off into the Navy so I could see the world. And the whole thing I did was I watched people make mistakes mm-hmm. so I could learn, because I grew up on the porch. Like, anybody that know me from home know I never got to go outside. Like, I was that dude that had to be home before the streetlights came on.
Me too.
So I had to learn by watching people, and I knew I was legit off the porch. So 17, 18, 19 years old, I was making mistakes that most people made at 12, 13, 14. Like, those were just things. And by watching everybody, that's how I learned how the world worked. Like, going out in the world, seeing how everything happens, watching people make mistakes, making small mistakes on my own, but letting other people make the big mistakes and learning from that.
Yeah.
But
we have to take away the shame and the stigma of being ignorant. Like, there's nothing wrong with being ignorant. Mm-hmm. Being ignorant just means that you don't know, right? You haven't seen, you haven't been exposed, you don't know. Mm-hmm. So the harm and the danger is when you just choose to chill in that ignorance and you have an attitude and don't want to learn. Like, it's okay to say, I don't know that, but pick up a book, like pull out your phone and look up something other than, you know, the latest meme on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big world around you. And so when you say that, the beauty in that is that you said that you knew you didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. And so then that motivated you to go out and discover a world, even though you didn't know anything about it.
It's a whole new world.
You knew there was something that existed beyond Batesburg, Leesville.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so somehow, like, we gotta let these young bucks know, like, it's okay not to know, but go and explore. Go and check it out and see what's good.
And on the other hand, if you see these white people out in these beautiful jobs not knowing a goddamn thing.
Fucking nothing.
Nothing. You see, it don't stop them.
Hey, you know.
Do not stop them. That's another thing we need to do in our community. Like when we get in places by working hard and getting into the places that we get in, we need to reach back. Do like they do. Reach back to people that remind you of you.
You know what's funny about reaching back? Let me tell you about reaching back. Nipsey Hussle. I won't say I'm a fan of his music. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it didn't grab my ear.
Right.
But Nipsey Hussle is God right now mm-hmm. for the things that he was doing. And they mm-hmm. were actually great things.
Yeah.
However, the three of us in this room have been doing the same great things. Maybe not on his level as far as opening businesses, but mm-hmm. we've been showing people that look like us, like, yo, this is possible. You can get this.
Yeah.
You can get this. But, and I often say, I can't go out into North Charleston, to the hood, and holler at these young dudes and be like, yo, man, what you're doing is jacked up, because they don't respect me as being from the same cloth they from.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
But the crazy part about it, you know, I came into the knowledge of Nipsey Hussle like super late, right? And before he passed, but still super late. And it's crazy to me because, okay, let me say this. So somebody called or sent me a text message one morning last week, paid me the best compliment ever without knowing that they were doing it. So they said, I was just listening to so-and-so on the radio. And as I was listening to him talk, it was crazy, like, how much he reminded me of you. Like, they had no idea that the person that they were comparing me to was, like, one of my heroes, somebody I hold in really, really high regard. They had no idea. Best compliment ever. So that made my day. Okay, cool. I don't understand, like, all of these dudes that are, like, enamored with Nipsey Hussle and, oh, he was doing this and he was doing that and he was the man and he blah, blah, he loved his community. And they have the exact same resources, if not more, than he had. So why aren't you doing it? If you, yeah, if you hold what he was doing in such high regard, why aren't you doing that?
Right.
Like, he wasn't an anomaly. He's not the only person that can do that. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you doing it?
That's why I said on Facebook, all of a sudden, all of my friends look like Nipsey Hussle on their avatar.
Everybody.
Everybody's fake woke these days. Just like I said today as well. Like, shit, everybody be up there complaining about the way the country is and what's going on in D.C. But how many people read the Mueller report? Or at least read a synopsis or had someone talk to them about the Mueller report.
I saw you post that and I was like, he's talking to me.
All right, let me go and pull my feet back since he's stepping on my toes.
It's okay to name drop people, other people? Jess Hilarious has a post that's out there right now.
Right.
She's talking about somebody she know was in business and something that she was interested in doing. And she was like, so, hey, can you tell me some more about what it takes to do what you're doing? And the response from the person was, oh, man, you got to work really hard. She's like, yeah, I got that part.
Tell me
what I got to work hard at,
right,
the specific things, and the people don't want to tell them. Mm-hmm. So somebody comes to me and they say, hey, what I need to do what you're doing. The first thing I say is go buy Security Plus.
The first thing I tell them to learn Security Plus.
Do I need to know about computers? That'll come, but go buy and learn Security Plus and take the exam.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's the first thing. First thing to do.
Yeah.
Because that will get you in the door. Like, oh, you got this because it's a qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
It's a qualifier more so than having the skill set.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I tell them. But you know how many people picked up Security Plus?
Zero.
There you go.
Zero.
I'll lead you to water.
Yeah. I have people, when I left T-Mobile, I had people that was just as qualified as I was with more certifications than I was and was like, hey, I need to get in where you're at. I was like, hey, learn Security Plus. None of them came over.
Speechless.
None of them came over. So,
and the point is, another thing, I got a lot of things I say now. Hard work. You're either going to do it in the beginning or you're going to do it in the end.
But you're going to do it.
You're going to do it.
Right.
So, right. Back to the wages, though.
And that kind of goes towards wages.
All this comes towards it. But just to cap it off because we're running out of time. So all of that hard work, learning what you need, did you put into it?
What do you mean?
What did you put into it as far as wages go?
In terms of how we can turn that around?
Right.
I mean, it's hard to pick one. There's so many things that we need to put in place. But my thing is we have to somehow get back to establishing a sense of community. We've lost that. I don't know when it happened or why, but we don't have that anymore. Like the way that I said, my grandfather and his brothers work together. People don't do that anymore. And I don't know what it is within our community that has taken that aspect of it away. You know, we call the hood the hood these days, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a problem because we've taken the neighbor out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that sounds like a really simple thing. Yeah, it sounds like a simple thing, but like that's impactful because when you say something enough, like it becomes that thing. And so now it's just the hood. There's no element of being neighborly anymore.
Right.
So we got to change how we do that. We got to change our mindset when it comes to finances. White folks, they live to leave something to their children, right? You turn on your TV. I don't know if y'all watch HGTV or not, but House Hunters, yeah. Mark and Becky are buying their first house. Mark works for Dunkin' Donuts, and Becky is a telemarketing representative. They have a $300,000 budget with $30,000 to put down. How? How do they have that?
Because they allowed them to stay at home.
Because my mama told me I have to leave the house.
Because they got married and they lived at home for the first 2 years of their marriage and saved their money. Or because Mima left them something. Like, and we don't do that anymore. Like, I was watching an interview, love Diana Ross. Diana Ross and all of her children were on the panel. And so one of her daughters told the story. Like, yeah, we was growing up. Mom used to always say, y'all get good educations. And then all of the children said in unison, because this money I'm making is for me. Right. Right. Like that's our mindset. Yeah. Like, and I don't know, like we got to readjust that. Yeah. You're not working, you know, just so your little ones can lay up on you and live off of you, you know, all their life and be trifling human beings. But there's a balance somewhere in that where we have to grasp the concept of inherited wealth, right? Because that's how we build and that's how we grow. It doesn't happen all in one generation.
Yeah.
Rockefeller's first generation made the money, second generation doubled it, third generation blew it, because you're talking about the Gilded Age in America. Where everybody was trying to buy the biggest and the best, but it's generational wealth. Like, right. It doesn't happen overnight. So we got to change our long-term thinking.
Dre, you just said, if you don't come from wealth, make sure wealth comes from you.
Ah, mm-hmm. That's it.
That's what's up. So in order to change America, we will have to change. In order to change these wages and the way these wages are pursued and dwelled out between to the people, we need to change the mindset of the people, right?
We got
to
change how we look at wages.
So a vote for Holiday is a vote to change the mindset of the people. Holiday 2024. All right. All right. If you like to follow us, you can track down everything that we do on our website. That is www.distractionnetwork.com. There you can find our podcast, any editorial or articles, as well as any videos or anything else we have upcoming. You can join our Facebook page at DistractNet and follow our Twitter at Distract_Net. You can also click on our social network feeds where you can find everything that you want to find about us.
Going on right now. What's happening?
You can follow me at Holiday4000 on Twitter. Don't try to find me anywhere else because I will not accept you there.
How do you spell distract and holiday?
Distract is DISTRACT. Holiday is HOLIDAE.
Roger that.
Where can they find you, Dre?
You can hit your boy up on the gram, Dre's World, DREZWORLD, Dre's World.
Omar?
Omar.Coley, OMAR.COLEY on Instagram.
Instagram. All right, guys, until next time, take care, be safe, holla! I'm focused on that finish line. Developing a strong mind. Years ago, they stopped making my kind. Yeah, I lose sleep, but it's alright cause I'm on the grind.